Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My name is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And the other programs under our Heritage Program are the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and our Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And so we are located right there in Anderson at 2110 North Street, across from New Tech High School, and that is our offices. And it is located in a beautiful building. It's the original Bank of America building that is downtown Anderson. It was built in 1959. Has the original vault and lots of character and history to it. And it was donated back to the museum by the Joe Gonzalez family, which is Josette Gonzalez and Bob Mather. And it is in honor of Joe Gonzalez, who is a World War II D-Day veteran. I should say was. He's no longer with us at this time. But it's the Joe P. Gonzalez World War II Memorial Building, offices of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And that's where we have our archives, and we have our repository, and we have our library where we store all the books that are donated and brought in. And this building is a precursor to the main facility that we are continuing to work on and continue to work to build with Shasta County and different organizations and businesses in our community. And I just want to let you know that things are moving forward with the museum property, working with Shasta County and the California Division of Drinking Water. We're working on solving some water issues between the state and the city of Anderson on supporting water for the museum program. And just letting you know how convoluted sometimes it becomes with trying to build a facility in unincorporated Shasta County. California, of course, has passed a new law, a new bill that states that they don't want to allow private public wells if they can help it. That means if you own a private well and it's for public consumption, then they want to either control it or to shut it down or to have you use a municipality water system. Where we are located, we are in unincorporated Shasta County, and we are a half mile from the city of Anderson water services, and we are 3 miles from the Cottonwood Water District services. And so California has basically stated that you will try to hook up with the municipality water system somewhere, some way, before you're going to have the opportunity to utilize your own water well system. And so, once again, that puts the museum in a time factor issue because we've requested twice from the city of Anderson to utilize their water system, and twice we've been denied. So now the state of California has decided that they're going to step in, and they're going to make a decision as to whether or not we can utilize our own system or whether they're going to mandate the city of Anderson to allow the museum to use water. And so that brings up another whole set of can of worms and things like that as we move forward. So you can see people come into the building and ask me almost every single day, what's taking so long? Why is it taking so long to get this going? How come you guys haven't broke ground yet? Well, I tell them that the devil's in the details, but sometimes the devil's not just in the details. The devil's in the entire project. And it just seems that as simple as it would be for us to be able to break ground and start a park or to move forward with phase one so we can move into the museum building in phase two, we face all of these issues that go on, all these things that we have to take care of behind closed doors where people don't see it every day. But I just want to let you know, when we were in Iraq, we faced the enemy every day. We got shot at. We were blown up. We had IEDs. We had booby traps. We took RPGs, tracer rounds, you name it, and we survived. And it was tough. It was hard. And so as long as we can be successful in that type of an environment, then we come back and we deal with the bureaucracy of either the state or the county or a city. As long as we're not being shot at, it's just another day in the process of. But the biggest thing is that as we keep pressing forward, it's really difficult for other people in the community, including veterans, to not get discouraged. And even myself sometimes, it's very difficult to not get discouraged with all of the things that we have to face in order for us to keep moving forward with this project. And we have people come to us say, you know, there's always folks out there that are naysayers, and they say, well, it looks like you guys are just never going to do it. Well, I'm here to tell you that as long as I have one last breath in my body, and in my endeavor to honor our veterans and those in my family and those in your family and those across our nation who have sacrificed and have shown us what the purpose of liberty is and what the cost is to do that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue to do this. And one of the reasons I think it's so important for us to have this museum on our West Coast is all of our national history is on the East Coast. You have Washington, D.C., you have the Civil War battlefields, you have all the monuments, you have all of the national museums, all of the national historical sites, and everything are on the East Coast. And I believe that one of the reasons that we don't have enough patriotism on our West Coast is that we don't have enough memorials. We don't have enough museums. We don't have enough places where people can go and understand the sacrifice of our men and women, the sacrifices of what it took for us to take care of that. After World War II, all the factories disappeared, all the aircraft factories disappeared, all of your bases have gone away through the Clinton administration and other administrations. There's no longer any military facilities that are down around San Francisco, where it was the hub of the United States Navy and the submarine service at Mare Island all through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. That's all disappeared and gone away. They've tried to erase our military history all across the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. And that's one of the reasons I believe it is so important for us to continue to move forward, because we will become the largest military museum on the West Coast in the I-5 corridor as we move forward with this project. And we should be proud to continue to move forward and have something like that in our community. We have the Veterans Home that honors our living veterans in their last days so that they have an honored place to live. We have the Veterans Cemetery at Igo, which honors those who have served, a place of dignity on Arlington West, where these men and women can be buried and be honored for their services, for their sacrifice, and for their families. And the museum is critical because it completes the story. It helps us to remember why these men and women served. It helps us to remember why the sacrifice was necessary. It helps us to promote freedom and liberty and teach others how important it is for us to move forward for that freedom and for that liberty and for that sacrifice. And it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to see it on the television. But it's another thing to walk up and touch it and see it for real life and to see it in real life, whether it's a large item or a small item. Whether it's the reality of yet that really took place or the reality of, oh, I didn't know that. A place to experience part of our freedom, a place to experience part of that sacrifice, and a place for us to be able to teach our next generations, excuse me, about why it is so important for us to continue to tell others about our patriotism, about our freedom and our liberty. President Ronald Reagan had it right when he said, freedom is only one generation away. The generation today that we know, that knows freedom and liberty and a sacrifice, the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, our grandchildren's children, is not that far away. That's only 40 to 60 years away. And how important it is for us to continue to be able to make sure that we share these stories in our lives about our freedom and about our nation. It doesn't matter if you served in the United States military. If you're a patriot, which is someone who has love for country. If you love this country, if you love our Northern California area, it's imperative for you to tell your children and your grandchildren and your neighborhood kids about why it's so important to fly that flag in front of your house and what that flag represents as far as that freedom and that sacrifice and what it takes for us to be able to have what we have in our country today that we still call liberty and freedom and justice for all to the best of our ability. We'll be right back.
Adult has issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta, wanting to spread the word to all North State first responders, police, fire, EMS, and dispatchers. We are bringing nationally certified Code 9 PTSD and suicide prevention training right here to Shasta County, starting March 24th at Simpson University. There are seminars for command staff, frontline first responders, or their families. We have paid so you can attend for free. Details and registration on our We Back the Blue Shasta Facebook page.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And that song It's that's kind of for our newer veterans, our younger veterans that we have out there. But that's a drive song. That's a motivator when they're out there getting ready to do what they have to do. We listened to some of that music when we were preparing to get ready to do convoys in Iraq, and it gets your blood stirring and gets your mind going and gets you pumped up to go out and do a job that you know that might take your life in the process. And so the warrior song is about the warriors who step up right now in our day and age, who are out there in our stead, who are fighting, who are protecting us, who are in the Persian Gulf, who are in Africa, North Africa, who are in Syria, who are throughout the United States, throughout the world right now. And that includes our Navy and our Coast Guard who are out there on the open seas and in the rivers and the bays that are patrolling and keeping us safe from harm. From those that would have come to our nation and damage us and to take our freedoms and liberties away from us. And so we want to say thank you to those that are serving today, our men and our women who wear the uniform. Remember, it's less than 0.4% of our nation serves our entire country. 0.4. That's less than half a percent of our American population serves and protects our nation, our country right now, and what we believe in. And so to those young men and women, to those who continue to serve and steadfast in our place, we say thank you. And we want to make sure that we remember them. This morning you're listening to KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio program. And we are brought to you not only by the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage, but also by Foster's Brush Hog Service. Foster's Brush and Tractor Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, after storm cleanup, tractor services, tree removal, brush and grass removal. Keith Foster is Darren Anderson. He's got a great crew. His father is a Korean War veteran, a Navy Korean War veteran, and he helped sponsor this program in honor of his father's service to our country. His phone number is 440-9531. 440-9531, Foster's Brush Hog Service. Give Keith a call, and he'll give you a good deal. He'll come out and do a good job. He's thorough. He knows the law. He knows what needs to be done for fire compliance. He helps support the museum. He does brush work for the museum and helps with some of our weed eradication and brush eradication. There's still so much storm damage out there left over from the snow, and he's still working on a lot of that, and we still have a lot of that taken care of. If you don't want to burn your brush, he has an eradicating machine that just chews all of that brush up and spits it back out as mulch. So you don't have to worry about burning on your property. He'll just chew it up and spit it out and use it for mulch right there on your property. And then you don't have to worry about burning if you don't have time or you're not able to do that. He can take care of that there. So a mulching opportunity is sometimes better than a burning opportunity because of how close your trees are or how close your neighbors are or next to a building. And so that's a great opportunity to get that taken care of also. This last week, we observed, if you did not know, the 75th anniversary of the Iwo Jima battle there in Mount Suribachi, the raising of the flag, the first flag and the second flag. And if you think about that time frame in our nation, just the Battle of Iwo Jima and the loss of over 6,000 wounded or killed Marines and Navy Seabees and Corpsmen and Navy personnel and Army Air Corps pilots that were lost during that time frame in about a 4 to 6 day period. And if you've never served or been to the South Pacific, if you're ever there, you understand and know that the days are 85 to 100 degrees and humidity is 100 to 110%. And the air is thick and it's heavy to breathe because of all the moisture. So if you step back and think about those Marines that hit that beachhead between the nerves and the gunfire and the sweat and the tears and the blood on the hot volcanic black beaches with the heat radiating off of the shoreline, and the beachhead, and the sweat from the sun beating down upon their uniforms and the gear that they were wearing, trying to keep hydrated and keeping enough water in their system, while they're being attacked by the Japanese forces during that time frame moving forward. It was one of the most horrific battles in our nation's history during World War II, and the Marines were there, and the Seabees were there, and the Corpsmen, the Navy Corpsmen were there, and they fought on those beachheads to fight the Japanese. In the museum, we have a display, and that display is of the raising of the second flag of Iwo Jima there on Mount Suribachi. And one of our people, one of our men who served in our community, United States Marine Corps with the 5th Corps, received the Purple Heart and the Silver Star for his actions there that day at the second raising of the flag on Mount Suribachi. His name was Lance Corporal Charles Lindbergh. And we have a dedication to his service to our nation in the pictures under that show where he was and what took place. And he is buried at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, another veteran in our community, a hero who served our nation faithfully and was wounded in action in honor of the liberty and freedom that we have to take down the injustice of the Japanese imperial government during that time frame and the soldiers. And we're getting ready to come up on a song we want to play. It's called We Remember, and it's about honoring our veterans.
Steel heaven,
Listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
It's time to glow at the Reading Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Reading Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
After complaints from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a U.S. Air Force base in Illinois removed a commander's name from a prayer breakfast invitation. The MRFF asserts that the commander violated the constitutional rights of the subordinates. But this isn't their first complaint, folks. Other cases involve demanding military services to remove Bibles placed on tables honoring prisoners of war and pressuring the Army and Air Force Exchange Services store to stop selling, quote, Jesus candy. Well, Pacific Justice Institute urges Christians to boldly live out their faith.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we played that Pomp and Circumstance for one of our local heroes that is here in our community. Our guest for this next hour is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, and he was a submarine sailor, and he went through a LDO, which is a limited duty officer program, and became an officer in the United States Navy and had his own command. And he is part of the board of directors for the Northern California Veterans Museum. He served here as one of the command leaders for the Cuttlefish Organization, which is a submarine group. And he has been involved with the Korean War veterans and all of our different programs. He was one of the original leaders with Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council. And a man in our community who has been involved since his first days in the United States Navy, taking care of our country, our nation, and our veterans after the fact during his retirement in our local area. And a mentor to me through my naval career. I met him when I was a third-class petty officer, and he mentored me through my years of service on my home front side. We went to the same church, and he would talk to me, and he would guide me, and he would give me instructions. And his advice to me and his guidance to me were some of the reasons that I've stayed 23 years in the Navy and also made senior chief. It was through some of his leadership and skills that he directed toward me, and some of his guidance and some of his chastisements. And you can't take the good without taking the bad and vice versa. But it takes a leader to be able to be willing to do that. And I believe that that's how he treated his men in the service, because that's how he treated me when he was out of the service. So good morning. Jim, thank you for all that you have done for our nation. Thank you for what you have done for our community. Thank you for how you have helped me in my life. And thank you as we move forward with the Northern California Veterans Museum with your guidance and your support with that program.
Well, yeah, Rob, thank you so much for the nice introduction. I remember that day you stepped on our porch as a third-class petty officer and started your career and has toured overseas that were very, very important to the United States and risk your life and the lives of others and made it back. So it's nice to be here this morning, and I just wanted to congratulate you on having this program and the job you're doing as the curator of the Northern California Veterans Museum. Down, it's going to be in Anderson there on Ronda Road. We already have one building downtown. We're looking at getting another storage building through your leadership and guidance, and we appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it takes the leadership of those who come before us, who help teach us and let us know. And if you're in, it doesn't matter if you're in the military or if you're in the community, when you have someone that takes you underneath their wing and helps mentor you and give you advice, you know, you can either accept the advice and you can move forward, you can turn away the advice and move forward or backward, however it takes you. You would be known as, in the Navy side, you'd be known as a sea daddy, because your sea daddy is the one that takes you aside, whether it's a lead petty officer or whether it's a junior officer or a chief. And they give you direction. They say, look, this is the direction you need to go. This is how you need to advance in your career. And that's what you did for me. You helped give me guidance as to what I needed to do, because you had been there before. You had done it. And I appreciated the experience that you had, that you took the time to share with me. And I didn't even know all of your career capabilities. You were a senior naval officer, and I was a boot. And so, you know, who am I to not say – thank you, sir, for the advice that you're giving to us. And it's so important in our community, is with our veterans that are here to have the opportunity. And while we're talking about it, I want to let folks know that we lost a veteran this last week, a man that used to also come into the museum and was a mentor to me and also talked with me, and that was Larry Mowry. He was a Korean War veteran of the United States Army. We lost him this last week at 81 years old. And he will be dearly missed. He would come into the museum during the week while I was working, and he would chat with me, and we'd talk about things in the community, and we'd talk about things that are going on with the museum. And the loss of him in our community is just like the loss of our other veterans in our community. It is a loss when we lose these men who have the knowledge and the capability and the mentorship. And I value every veteran that comes through the door who has that leadership skill that offers advice and this and that and the other thing, but also that camaraderie. I look up to those men, just like you, Jim, and John Baker, and our other veterans who come in who are part of our staff, and Tom Johnson. Those who have leadership skills in our community and they're part of the program and continue to move forward, I value that advice. I value that service, and I value that service to our nation. And that's what the museum is all about, is to make sure that we continue to allow people to know why that is so critical and important in our military.
Well, the answer to all of it is communications. If we can communicate with one another on any level, we are helping. As far as Larry Maurer went, Larry was absolutely community-minded. He worked desperately hard on a project in Anderson called the Walk of Honor. And if you get down there, it's off of East Center Street, and it's something to see with mannequins and plaques and so forth. But Larry, not only that, he was deeply involved in Kiwanis. And if you ask him to do something, he did it and did it in a first-rate manner. So we have other people like that in the community that work so hard to make our community and make it a wonderful place to live. But I'll tell you one thing you see in Anderson and Redding Cottonwood is the thoughts towards veterans. Anything you have towards veterans, the community seems to jump behind. Like our museum, we need a lot of help with it, and we do get pretty good connections. So, it was a wonderful career that I had, and started out as a kid. Right, coming off the farm in western Pennsylvania, and went through Admiral Recover's program, which was a thing in itself, and maybe we'll talk a little later about it. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome. We're coming up on a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your services, when you went in and why you went in, and a little bit about when your first portion of your naval career, and then we're going to talk about a book in our second hour about the gilding of the Kukol. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you hear? Mostly Family Sellers won big at the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition. That's the biggest competition in North America. 6 big awards, including 2 gold. Join us Sunday, March 1st from 1 to 4 p.m. and taste why we won so many. 4712 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Mosley Family Cellars, where you come as guest and leave as family.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
You
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's some sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his life. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, for these stars and stripes. Hey.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows. I'm your guest this morning. It's KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And our guest this morning is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, retired, one of our local heroes here in our community. I call him a hero because I think that he is a hero, a part of my life, and I appreciate everything that you do, Jim. My father was a World War II veteran. He passed away in 2000. And Jim kind of stepped in, became kind of a surrogate father for me during those years when I was in the Navy and I needed that advice and a senior male to go to talk to and bounce ideas off of and to have somebody encourage me, give me a little self-discipline here and there. And Jim Gibson was a man that helped to do that through my career, also through our church at that time. And Jim, it's always it's a privilege and honor to have you here this morning and talk on the radio and also to be a friend and a mentor to me.
Well, it's my honor also to be here and to be in a community such as Northern California. I belong to a submarine veterans group called Cuttlefish. We call it a base, which is really a group that meets in Anderson on the second Saturday of the morning, or in Chico, or sometimes in Red Bluff. But a group of fine submariners who... and there are many submariners in the area that should try to get a hold of us. We'll be glad to have you aboard. We need the young people coming in our group. And it's a privilege to be in this community and serve in this community. Other things, the AMVETS and the American Legion, they're all striving to make this a veterans community-minded area.
Well, if you're a submarine sailor that's out there and you'd like to become part of the Cuttlefish Base program, you can call Jim, and his phone number is 245-4492. That's 245-4492, and he can get you that information. If you'd like more information or you can't get a hold of Jim, you can contact me at the museum office, and that number is 378-2280. 378-2280, and we will get you in contact, get you that information. And Jim, we have multiple displays inside the museum.
Cuttlefish,
yes. Donated. You were a Navy diver. We want to talk a little bit about that, your diving service and what took place. And we have a beautiful Mark IV dive helmet, a replica that you have donated, and we have it under glass that's there at the museum that's on display, and that's part of your heritage and your history, and that represents other Navy divers and personnel that served in our country.
Well, we also have in that above it a large Mark IV, 14 torpedo, which a lot of people can't believe how big it is and was inside of a submarine. This is a mock-up, not a real torpedo, but it certainly looks like one. And we have other things that are there. There's just ship models and everything. This is going to be one of the fine displays in Northern California, and we're awful proud of it, and we are proud of the community supporting us, giving us different things for the museum. And then we will be down on Ronda Road, there on the other side, south of Walmart and the community church. We're up there on a hill, and we have a lot of plans for that, and we'll be start breaking ground soon.
I'm hoping this year. I mean, we are pressing hard to make sure that we break ground this year. We're trying to do everything within our power to make it happen. It's, you know, we're working with... constantly working with issues that come from the city, the state, or the county, but we are doing everything we can within our power to be proactive to get this thing going.
Well, we need all the help we can get from the county and the city of Anderson and things that we need to move forward with. I want to come back and tell you that in talking about leadership and you're going in the Navy and so forth. The answer to all of this is communications. And when I started out as a young sailor right after World War II and worked with people that had been in World War II, several, and it was an education to carry it on through my career and through command of the Kukol.
And it, the Kukol, the ASR-8.
Yes, it's a submarine rescue ship that now is antiquated and out of the Navy file. But back then in 69, 70, why we practiced, we could rescue submariners down to 1,250 feet which with the McCann rescue chamber. And going back again, in 1939, the USS Squalus went down off of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, in about 250 feet of water, and a ship just exactly like the one I commanded, the Falcon, went out, sent the McCann Rescue Chamber down, and rescued 33 men out of it. They also, with the heavy handling, they brought the submarine, the Squalus, up, and took her into Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, cleaned it up, of course, removed the and memorialized the bodies from the 26 that didn't make it, and then it went back to sea as a USS Sailfish and made 9 war patrols out in the southern Pacific. So that is a capability, and we trained every time we got a chance, we would train to use the McCann Rescue Chamber, to use the different equipment that we had and so forth. It was an interesting command. I would not brag about it, but when I got command, we had some morale problems and so forth, and we used leadership of talk to each other, help each other, and have a fun ship, and we did do that, and it came through quite successfully.
And one of the stories that I wanted to, that I read about is, you're talking about training and everything that takes place during training. If you don't do your training on a regular basis, you call for a particular drill, and then you get the men literally running into each other because they don't know where their battle station is, or they don't know where their position is that they need to go directly to. Or they turn around and give you the deer in the headlights look as like, oh, crap, what am I supposed to do now? Yes. Because I don't know what the next position is of my status or my duty. Talk about your first man overboard drill.
I relieved this commanding officer of the Kukol in the shipyard in Pearl Harbor. And I want to say right now, the former skipper was an engineer, and they did a great job of repairing the Kukol, but leadership was -7. Anyway, we get underway for the first time, and we go out off of Pearl Harbor. And one of the main things that you train for right off is man overboard. If you have a man overboard, you want to get him back. Well, anyway, I told the executive officer to get a big can and throw it over the side and yell, man overboard, and we start training. So I, here it comes, and we hear, man overboard, starboard side. And the OD turned to me, Captain, which way would you like me to pick him up? And I exploded. I mean, anybody that knows me, I have a temper that sometimes gets out of control. And we've started from there. And that's where our training started to go up. We also had a week, 2 weeks in fleet training group, which trained us, and we worked hard there. We worked for everything to go to what they call the Western Pacific, and we went to in Yokosuka, Japan, and thereabouts, so that we have a rescue ship on out on the southern Western Pacific, and we did. We went to Vietnam and did some work there, and just had a great career. About 4 years ago, I started putting this stuff down on paper and in the computer. And I met this wonderful fellow from Anderson, George Winship, and he said, well, why don't you write a book? So we started then, and George worked desperately hard with me, and we put it in compartmentalized chapters where you can read a little bit, put it down, take it back. But the book has been very well received. We did have to self-publish because of a mistake of using publishing before we asked another outfit to publish it for. So we self-published it. I have it for sale, and people are saying good things about it. It goes into when I was, believe it or not, I was adopted as a little boy, 1 year old, and from there on up through school, high school, going in the Navy, working for the famous Admiral Rickover, which is a thrill in itself. I would tell you one thing about it if we have time.
Well, we'll have time. We're going to come up on a break in just a minute, but go ahead and finish your thought process right there while we were talking, and then we'll catch that on the other side of our break.
Fine.
So we're going to go ahead and go to an early break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Run silent, run deep. Captain Edward L. Beach. This tiger don't sleep. Run silent, run deep. Ned Beach was a leader, could mesmerize a reader. A humble man of courage, skill, and pride. He loved the silent service, profession with purpose. On December 102, this hero died. He launched a new sub-Nautilus, set standards for all of us, and took the mighty Triton round the world. Fought the Battle of Midway, Navy crossed from Tirante, made a dozen war patrols out of Pearl. Run silent, run deep. Captain Edward L. Beach. This tiger don't sleep. Run silent, run deep.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The U.S. has signed a peace agreement with Taliban militants aimed at bringing an end to 18 years of bloodshed in Afghanistan.
Under the deal signed in Doha, the U.S. draws down its forces from 13,000 to 8,600 in the next 3 to 4 months and pulls out the remaining forces in 14 months, depending on the Taliban meeting their commitments to prevent terrorism. If they don't, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says,
President Trump and his team will not hesitate to do what we must do to protect American lives.
That report from correspondent Julie Walker. President Trump says he'll address the nation shortly about the coronavirus threat. The president tweeted he'll discuss the latest development at a White House news conference this afternoon, about a half an hour from now. The president already addressed the nation once this week about coronavirus. The Senate's top Democrat, Charles Schumer of New York, says the president has no business blaming the media for raising the alarm about the coronavirus, noting the president recently called for budget cuts at the CDC.
The agency in charge of fighting these kinds of viruses. Not the Democrats, not the press. President Trump did that.
But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Schumer's involved in a transparent effort to play politics with the coronavirus.
This new disease is not going to press pause so that members can engage in performative outrage that gets us farther from results rather than closer.
Senator McConnell says the coronavirus has no interest in what he calls partisan bickering or political news cycles. Italian authorities today say the country has more than 1,000 coronavirus cases, and 29 people infected with the virus have died. The head of Italy's Civil Protection Agency said during a news conference the total number reached 1,128 today. Officials also reported 8 more deaths in the previous 24 hours. People with the virus, bringing the total there to 29. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Ice, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-459-3174. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-459-3174. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-459-3174. 1-800-459-3174.
At CPAC, the country's largest conference of conservatives, Heritage Foundation President K. Cole James says there's a struggle in America.
We face a battle today between those who want to preserve this nation and those who want to bring her down.
Senator Ted Cruz says his own grandmother was forced to feign mental illness to escape her job as a teacher during Fidel Castro's literacy program, the one recently praised by Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders.
She decided she would rather have the stigma, the shame of being considered a crazy lady than actually participate in indoctrinating and brainwashing children, which is what they were doing.
It's Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz, who told the Salem Radio Network this week his abuela resorted to the ploy since teachers were not allowed to quit their jobs under the Castro regime. Breaking news at townhall.com. Facebook now says it's banning ads that make false claims about products tied to the new coronavirus.
The company says it's removing ads that feature a product and imply a limited supply, thus creating a false sense of urgency in their mention of coronavirus. Ads that guarantee a cure or prevention are also banned. For instance, Facebook says ads for face masks that claim the products are 100% guaranteed to prevent the spread of the virus are not allowed.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Former Vice President Joe Biden appears poised for a victory in today's First in the South primary, just weeks after his third presidential campaign left New Hampshire badly wounded and close to broke. The question is whether Biden can turn a win in South Carolina today into a strong showing in the Super Tuesday slate of 14 states just 3 days from now. Biden downplayed any pressure for him to win big today. More of these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted the band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burroughs, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum. I'm your host this morning. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. And we have our guest this morning is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, United States Navy, retired. But before we step back in with our guest, I want to talk about the February 23rd, which is the 75th anniversary of the raising of the flag on the invasion of Iwo Jima and Mount Suribachi. And if you didn't know it, the memorial, the Marine Corps Memorial in Washington, D.C., was just completely rehabilitated for the 75th anniversary. I want to read you an article on that, because if you didn't know, it's good information to know about preserving our history and the preservation of our traditions, such as the Marine Corps and the Navy. The U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial in Arlington, Virginia, has been renovated just in time for the 75th anniversary of the famous flag raising above Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima. The Japanese island located in the Pacific Ocean between the U.S. territory of Guam and the Japanese mainland was the location of a five-week World War II battle during the spring of 1945. President Dwight D. Eisenhower dedicated the Marine Corps Memorial, which depicts 32-foot-high figures raising a 60-foot flagpole, on November 10, 1954. The memorial has been undergoing renovation since the fall of 2017, thanks to a $5.37 million donation from Carlyle Group founder and philanthropist David Rubenstein. Rubenstein is also the chairman of the Kennedy Center's Board of Trustees. He made the donation in honor of his father's service in the Marine Corps. The National Park Service supervised the memorial's renovation, which included making new engravings, cleaning and waxing the sculpture, brazing bronze seams, and regilding the letters and inscriptions along its base. The Park Service's webpage dedicated to the project shows a series of before and after photos showing the rehabilitation of the sculpture. Before the project, the statues were discolored, pitted, and now they are smooth and they show very little wear. In a statement from the Park Service website, Rubenstein noted the importance of maintaining the memorial as fewer and fewer World War II veterans remain able to tell their stories and applaud the renovation. The conservators and workers did a wonderful job returning the U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial to its original beauty. I am humbled to be a part of refurbishing the memorial and honoring those who gave the last full measure of devotion for America. It is so important from our memorials in Washington, D.C. to our memorials across our entire United States to remember and to honor those who served this nation. I can't say that enough. I can't tell you enough how important it is for us to continue to tell these stories, to share these life experiences. A story is a story, but a life experience is reality. And for us to make sure that we honor these men and women who served our country from all the different branches of service, from the inception of our nation at the Revolutionary War to today in Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq and the Persian Gulf and across the world. We cannot forget. We cannot tell the story enough. Every one of us has a duty and a responsibility to make sure that the next generation understands and knows that the liberty and the freedom that we enjoy right now in our streets and across our nation every single day is not just free. It's just not out there to be taken advantage of or to be forgotten or to be put aside, but that people have sacrificed to give us what we have. And it is so important for us to continue to tell that story. It's important for you as an American to tell that story to, even if your spouse doesn't know, you need to talk with it among your spouse, your husband or your wife, or your sons and your daughters, or your grandchild, that your boy or your girl, or the neighbor child who doesn't have anybody to mentor or tell them. We as Americans, if we do not continue to tell and share these stories, we will lose what we have. Our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, and their children will lose what we have today. And we must stay on top of it, and we must continue to let them know what it takes for us to have for the freedoms and for the country we have. Remember that our United States military today is 0.4% of our total national population. 0.4. That's less than 0.5% of our people serve our country that control and honor and preserve our liberties and our freedoms. And so I'm going to remind you every program because it is so critical. And we talk to a small audience here, but every one of us can make a difference. Every man, every woman that tells us a story and shares and continues to move forward with that helps to preserve what we have. Because if we don't have it and we don't preserve it, it all falls back on us for not caring enough to step forward and make a difference. Once again, our guest this morning, Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, United States Navy, retired. Jim, I'm so thankful that you're here in our community and you help support this program. You continue to tell a story to all of those around that you're with. And our military, our veterans who share that story in our communities, they're critical in the preservation of our freedom, whether it was when they served, whether it's many years ago or recently, but to continue to tell the story of why it's so important that we have what we have because of those who sacrificed. And you served and you saw men who sacrificed during your service. Good morning.
Well, thank you, Rob. I was raised in a very, very patriotic, flag-waving, not only home but the community. My father, we were served in World War One in the, and believe it or not, drove a 6-mule team kitchen all over Italy and southern France. And as I grew up, and we would go to things on Memorial Day, put flags out like Preston Sharp in our own communities doing today, who's a fine, fine young man. And if you don't know who he is, find out, because Preston is putting flags on veterans' graves all over the United States. And it's a wonderful program, self-imposed by him and his wonderful mother, April. But anyway, going back to my dad, he had very strict rules. We lived by the rules, and yet they were wonderful. During the Depression, we didn't have a lot, but we worked hard. I had a big garden. My mother canned and so forth. As we're coming up through all this, I got to be quite a good baseball player. Not quite as good as I thought I was, but anyway, I had a chance through a fellow by the name of Hannes Wagner, a very famous Hall of Fame baseball player from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I had a chance to try out with the Pirates and the farm team, and it just came out that I had a major league baseball curveball, but I couldn't break a pane of glass with my fastball. So I was really sort of at a loss. My dad was working in a dynamite plant in a little town there in western Pennsylvania. So he brought me on. That wasn't what I ever wanted to do. So I went in and talked to the recruiters. Things were happening right after World War II in 1948. And my dad gave me some wonderful advice. He said, "Jim, go in the Navy. If you eat, you'll eat hot food. If you sleep, you'll sleep in a bunk." He said, "And you won't be out sloshing around in the mud and in being a grunt in the Army." So I did. And I got into a special program which taught me about diesel engines. From there, I went into submarines and...
Go ahead.
Went to the submarine school. From there, my first submarine in Panama. And all this is related in the book that we were talking about, Gilding the Coup Call, which I had the pleasure of writing and now have the pleasure of getting it out in the community. You can get it, as Rob said before. My phone number is 245-4492. It's getting good reviews, and it's written to where you don't have to read a full chapter at a time. It's quite good, and again, thanks to George Winship, it really is something that I'm very, very proud of.
Jim, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Listen here, you little twit.
Matilda the Musical is the story of an extraordinary girl who, with a sharp mind, proves that even if you're little, you can do a lot. Inspired by the genius of Roald Dahl, Matilda the Musical is packed with high-energy dance numbers, catchy songs, and an unforgettable cast. Children and adults alike will be thrilled and delighted by the story of Matilda. The Cascade Theatre presents Matilda the Musical, March 20th through 29th. Tickets at cascadetheatre.org or 243-8877.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is American Patrol by Glenn Miller. A very famous World War II song, still popular today. I love listening to Glenn Miller. My mom worked for the Navy during World War II. My dad was a gunner's mate on a Liberty ship, the SS President Adams, who was all of the different islands during the war. And one of the rifles that he brought back from the war was a rifle from Iwo Jima. It was an M1 carbine that was brought back. And he told the story as when he came back, he had it on his ship, and he had traded a Marine for that rifle from some other things that he had gotten off one of the other islands. And he put that rifle under his pea coat, his heavy wool coat, and then threw a sea bag over the top of that, so it was kind of hidden underneath. And then my uncle, who was a builder first class Navy Seabee, he was in his uniform. They were there, and they came off the deck there with the officer of the watch. And as they did, they started to go ahead and salute and then stumbled down the gangway and to the point where they were able to get past the officer of the day, and they didn't have to show the sea bag or any of the other stuff because there was a whole line of sailors getting ready to come off that ship. And so that's how that M1 carbine came home. That was the first rifle I ever learned to fire, was that M130 caliber carbine, and it was just a wonderful little firearm or rifle to learn on, and I never knew the history of it. He never told me the history until I was later in life. I learned to shoot it about 9 years old, and it has no kick to it whatsoever. But once I learned the history, and then I learned about Iwo Jima, and then I learned about what took place and the sacrifice and the lives of 6,000-plus men who were either wounded or killed during that invasion, 4 to 6 days time frame, and how important it was. That M1 carbine is a key piece to the Northern California Veterans Museum. It is a piece of American history. It's a piece that represents the lives that were lost, but it also represents the lives and the liberty that were saved. And so that's why these items are so important. I mean, the items that my father brought back are different large brass shells that were fired off of the ships, and Japanese bayonets, and Arisaka rifle, and a samurai sword, the different things that he traded with the Marines and brought back from that time frame are the items that I grew up with. Those were things that I looked at and touched and worked with almost daily sometimes in my life because it had meaning, it had clarity. And because my father didn't talk about his World War II service, those things were the representation of my father's World War II service. That was the reality of where my father had been and where he had served. And like I said, my father didn't talk about a lot about it, but my mother told me different stories about my father and other sailors and things during that time frame. And my grandfather also, my mother's father, was a World War I veteran. and survived a submarine sinking on the SS Tuscania. We'll talk about that at another time. But one man out of 300 plus souls, out of 1,200 souls that were on that SS Tuscania that were lost, and only 300 survived, and one of those was my World War I grandfather. And so you stop and you ask yourself, destiny, how certain people survive and live through certain things, and then the next generation carries on, the next generation carries on. If my grandfather had been lost, wouldn't be here today talking about what we're doing and honoring our veterans with the Northern California Veterans Museum. Jim, thank you again for being here this morning. One of the displays that we have in our offices there is a large board with 52 patches on that that was donated by the Cuttlefish Organization. Can you talk about those 52 patches?
Well, yeah, but first I'd like to go back to Iwo Jima. One of our, now passed on, but one of our associate members, Paul Berry, went in on the first wave to Iwo Jima. The boat stopped early, so these Marines with all this gear had to get off the boat, and seven drowned. Paul was hit with a rifle and broke a couple of ribs, went on in, kept fighting, and next thing he was on, he had a rifle take out one of his fingers, and wounded, still going. Now he's driving a bulldozer and goes over a landmine, and to the day he died, he hurt from that crushing his back and so forth. But those were people that didn't ask for anything, just kept going forward. And like Rob says, we should honor them in every way. As I say, my father was World War I. Here is Paul Berry, was an associate member of the Submariners and Iwo Jima and World War II. And coming up through World War II was just an interesting time. Everything was patriotic. We were rationed with sugar, with rubber. You couldn't get new tires for your car because of the rubber being in short supply. And tin cans, we saved that and turned them in, and they went back to be melted down and so forth. But it was absolutely United States go forward type of attitude then. And it stayed on. But now, as Rob said, we're seeing things that are two different things. We're seeing people that want this country to go forward and people that seem to want not. And we're seeing some in the services also. But I would like to go back a little bit to the submarine. When I went to the submarine school, it was absolutely select, and they were very, very observant of you and your duties and so forth. There was no shore patrol report. If you had one of those, you were out. If you failed in one of the subjects, you were out. Then we went to the submarine, and with World War II guys, they were very insistent that you qualified in every system, every valve. And so if you were in a compartment by yourself and something happened, you could take care of securing that compartment. And they held to that all the way up. And I went through that, and as they call it, qualified. And it was a ritual. And no one wore those set of dolphins that showed you were a submariner until you were qualified, or you might have a problem when you went over to have a beer. People would take absolute umbrage that you were wearing them and you didn't rate them. Then after that, I was fortunate enough to be selected, as Rob said, LDO. I went on the USS Pomfret, and thanks to some good officers, qualified again as an officer, again, not only having to know the submarine, but be able to write on different things such as tactics and so forth. I went on, and again, I hope this is not coming off as bragging, but it's a fact that I qualified for command of a submarine and went on through deep sea diving school, which is a thrill in its own, the 6 months school in Washington, D.C., and got through with that and went to the command of Kukul that we talked about before.
I would not call it bragging for you to say that you earned your surface warfare and your submarine dolphins and that you qualified as a certified skipper and also as your dive qualifications. I was fortunate in my career to earn my combat warfare, CB combat warfare designation, and also my Fleet Marine Force designation, which you can only earn with the Marine Corps. If you were in a combat situation, if you were forward located with the Marine Corps in a combat situation, and I value my Fleet Marine Force combat badge more than I do my Navy badge, because serving with the Marine Corps and being able to qualify with the Marines as a Marine and also as a CB was probably one of the greatest opportunities I ever had, and I earned it in Fallujah, Iraq, with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. And so being with the Marines and then being able to earn that qual, the whole idea behind the qual is, like the commander said, if you are in a situation where it's not your normal, you're not in a normal workstation or not your normal position, and something happens that you can step up because you are a subject matter expert and you can fulfill the need of whatever that battle station is or whatever takes place. And it's the same thing with the CBs and being out with the Marine Corps. You're outside the wire, your squad leader goes down, your platoon leader, you step up. Doesn't matter if you're an E1 or you're an E5, enlisted 5, a second-class petty officer, third class, or whatever else. If you're an E2 and you know what school qualifications are and your leadership goes down, you can step up and you can continue to lead the men that are around you, and you continue to take over. Because otherwise, once again, it's the deer in the headlights, just like you talked about earlier. And one of the things that we learned is you train as you fight and you fight as you train. There is no difference. You don't train differently than how it is when you're there. And here's a good example. During Desert Storm, they had gotten away from that in the late 80s and the early 90s. And personnel out in the field, their rifles would jam with the sand. And instead of knowing how to clear their rifles or their weapons, they would raise their hand for somebody to come and help them, because that was the only way they were trained to get the information to take care of. They were never trained how to be self-sufficient in maintaining their weapons and being able to fix it and clear it themselves. And so that tells you how important the training is. You fight like you train, and you train like you fight, so it's second nature. We're coming up on our time. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Dive, dive. Take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine. Left the wife and the kids behind. Most other people say I've lost my mind. Can't see the sun and I can't see the sky. But it's my life and I don't know why. So take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine. The silver dolphins that I proudly wear remind me that I'm among the few who care. Out on patrol and loaded for bear, and when it comes my time, well, I've done my share. So take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that song was written by Tommy Cox, who is a former Navy chief, submarine chief. And so great opportunity for us to play that in honor of all of our submarine veterans. And our guest this morning, again, is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and our talk this morning is with one of our local heroes. Jim, let's talk a little bit about some of your training that you did and some of your dive school and some of the things that were so important during your quals.
Well, the biggest thing of getting through deep-sea diving school, I went in it at an ancient age of 39, and it was a tough school. We start in the morning when runs a mile, and we would do exercises and then start at 10-hour work on learning how to use the different diving apparatus. And this was I made it through with the goal of getting a command of the submarine rescue ship. And Rob, before you ask about the title of the book, Yielding the Coup Call. Well, in that year in 1969, the coup call was over in Western Pacific under the former the skipper I relieved, and it was in such shape that they talked about towing it back. And we got it, and they went through the yard. As I said, the skipper was an engineer. They did a good job there, but the morale was terrible. People just didn't have the spirit and so forth. And that's when I took over with the wonderful, fine, he's gone now, but the executive officer, one of the finest officers I ever served with. And I'd had training by some of the fine officers back when I was learning to how to command a submarine and so forth. But when they get on there, and people just didn't respond, and the former skipper would tell them something in the morning and then go up to the officers' club and come back in the afternoon and change it. So what we did, we just started working towards one of the big things we did. It was around Christmas, so they came and asked if they could decorate the ship, and I came in the next morning, and there was a Santa Claus trying to climb down the stack of the ship, and it went on, but we did win the best decorated ship in that for Christmas. And we just kept coming up and up. If we told the officers they had to do their job, if they messed up, we'd back them up and help them in any way we could. And it went from that to where we were given the battle efficiency E. We were, I got the Meritorious Service Medal. The ship got the Meritorious Unit Commendation, and we went to Western Pacific and had tremendous success there. And this was not only because of what we said, but we had people on board that would respond. We had a thing called fast cruise. We would, day before we were getting underway, we would go to our underway stations and train on that. And you'd be surprised how many things we'd find that if we had not done that, would have not worked when we needed them to. So things like that. That was the gilding, making gold of the ship.
Sure, and if you don't know what gilding is taking something that's precious to you and gilding it or coating it or covering it with gold to make it a valuable piece. So it doesn't just have an intrinsic value to it. It also has a gold value or a monetary value to it. So gilding the kukol. The kukol is a type of bird. It's a jungle
bird.
That's
right. It's an African bird.
And so people go, what's a kukol? Well, the kukol is it's a type of bird. It has beautiful feathers on it. It's very it's part of the cuckoo family, right?
Well, yeah.
Cockatiels and things like that.
But all the submarine rescue ships, a Florican, a Chanticleer, a kukol, were named for birds. And the kukol was in World War II. It acted as a small submarine tender. They could come by and get help and get stores and so forth. And when I had it, we went into Hong Kong 5 different times so the nuclear submarines could go in there and have a Liberty port. And Hong Kong was a sort of a prize for the doing good. And we went in 5 different times and stood by when different submarines, nuclear submarines, would come in. They would tie up alongside us if they had a problem, which they never did, but we could take them to sea. And that would, and people of Hong Kong felt that they were safe. And of course, back then, people worried about nuclear power, especially from World War II and Hiroshima and so forth. So that was a function, and every one of those submarines that came alongside had nice things to say to higher authority about how we worked with them, and we acted as a submarine tender.
Submarine tender and customer service. There's all different types of customer service, and the leadership starts at the top, Commander. And that's one of the things that we found 23 years in the Navy Seabees, when we had a skipper that was in there that cared about the men, actually listened to you when they had an issue, and there was communication, as you said, up and down the chain of command. That was a major morale builder, because you knew that if you had a concern, that you could go and either talk to your squad leader, which would be, well, we call them squad leaders in the Seabees, but it'd be your platoon leader or your duty section in the Navy or division section, your chief, your first class petty officer, and from there it would go up the chain of command or come back down. And a good attitude with a good command listens to what their men say, and then there's actually some form of change or some form of increase in training or whatever else, because if the men are not secure, if they don't have a good morale, they will not follow the commanding officer, they will not follow the chief, they will do a half-duty job, And that's where safety issues comes in, and that's where your performance come in. So Jim, obviously gilding the Kukol and being able to have the Battle E, which is excellence, battle excellence in your ship or your duty station, that's exemplary. That shows your skill there.
This is all told in this book, Gilding the Kukol. There's a lot of fun things in it that we did. One thing our ship made is underway speed, the most economical speed, was 9 knots, which is about 10.5 miles per hour, which doesn't sound much fast in land, but it was a good steady speed. But it also was the right speed to troll for the western dolphin called the Mahi Mahi. And so when we got on there, and all of us liked to fish, and I was the leader of that because I really loved to fish. So we would go every place with three poles hanging off the back, trolling, and we'd catch one of the big, up to 40-pound Mahi Mahi. And the fantail, the back of the ship, would go call to the bridge, fish on, and if they were safe, they would stop. We'd land the fish and enjoy that. There was always a pot of stew on the back on the back part of the fantail of the ship. And we ended up in Japan. We donated almost 1,100 pounds of fish to an orphanage there, and we got the little kids down, and that was fun to see. They would have a drumstick from a turkey leg on one hand and an ice cream cone in the other, these little Japanese orphans, and that was a wonderful part, too.
Wow, what a great experience to be able to do that also. But I'll tell you, fresh food, anytime you're in the military, you get a chance to eat fresh food. That talk about armies and the sailors move on their stomachs. And so when you've got a crew member and they've got a stomach full of good food, they've got a good attitude, and they're ready to do their job to the best of their ability because they know that you're taking care of them. So some of the basic smallest needs are the most biggest morale boosters. Amen. And an attitude that goes with that is what helps promote a good crew, a good team, and a good working organization.
Well, lastly, the book, Gilding the Kukol, is for sale. And if you want it, I think you'd really enjoy it. It's my phone. Again, 245-4492, and I'll see if you get one. We do have to charge for them, but that'll be known then.
That'll be great. We'll also have those at the museum, at the offices, if somebody wants to come by and get those. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North 8 Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit PalosHidroDentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Way back in the Cold War when the going got tough, we played a little game and called it Blind Man's Bluff. The U.S. and the Russians kept the action unseen. We played this game of chicken with our submarines. We sneak up on each other, steal the secret stuff, muddy up the waters, called it Blind Man's Bluff. We're young and patriotic and devil may care. The good guys and the bad guys made a deadly pair. We shadowed each other with antennas for ears. We were just a high-tech buccaneers. We could get the booty from the Soviet bear and bring it all together with a wing and a prayer. Blind Man's Bluff is not a childish game. Blind Man's Bluff can bring you fame or shame. A little bluff here or a little bluff there. Blind Man's Bluff could be a sailor's prayer.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows. I'm your host this morning, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. Our guest this morning again is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, United States Navy, retired. Jim, good morning, and thank you again for being here. We've got about 12 minutes left. Just tell us what you want us to know about your book and your family and your home and your career.
Well, before I talk about that, I want to tell you that any good man in the service or out functions with a wonderful wife and someone who supports you in whatever you do. And I was fortunate, and Mary Lou's mentioned quite a bit in the book, but my wife, Mary Lou, of now 68 years.
Congratulations.
She stood by me, helped me. She was with me 22 years in the Navy. 11 of that I was away from home. She raised two fine sons that we are so proud of, and one from here, it's already retired from, that's hard to believe, already retired from Caltrans. Another son that's up in Washington and manages a couple of restaurants, and just has done a banner job for me, and she deserves a majority of the credit that's ever in that book because of what she allowed me to do and not have to worry about the home front and so forth. And I just can't say enough about her. Speaking of the schools and so forth that it talks about in there in the book is Engelman School, where they took myself off, a kid off the farm, and taught him how to overhaul massive diesel submarine engines, like not unlike the ones that are in these trains that we hear going by now and then. And I went through that school. Nuclear power school was interesting. Our teachers, our instructors, were just learned people from like Case Institute, MIT, and so forth. To give you that We're sitting there the first morning in math class, and the instructor come in, and very, very dedicated, he wrote on the board a 2. And then underneath that, he wrote another 2. He drew the line, and he put a plus sign on there, and he turned around and said, all right, gentlemen, we'd never been called gentlemen in our lives, but now, gentlemen, would somebody give me the solution to that problem on the board? And, of course, some wise guy said 4, and he said, that's wonderful. Now we're going to go into algebra.
Just at the very beginning.
Yeah. Anyway, that went through nuclear power and worked for Admiral Rickover, and a lot of interesting stories about him. And he was a very dedicated man, but he had no time for nonsense or anything but dedication. And he was, of course, known as the father of the submarine Navy.
And the nuclear power.
Yeah.
The father of the nuclear power in the Navy.
Yeah, that's it. He put, thanks to him, we had the Nautilus, which was the first reactor inside a submarine and went to sea. And the Nautilus is very famous up over the ice, up under the ice in the Arctic and across the pole and so forth. So thanks to Rickover, we had that. I worked directly for him for about a year, and that is a thrill in itself when you're being called a dumb, certain, your parents were not married type of guy. So hey, if you can read into that, he didn't put up with any nonsense and loved working with him. All this is in the book, and some cute things that went on for me while I was writing the book.
The name of the book is Gilding the Kukol. It is the memoirs and the story of Lieutenant Commander James Gibson's naval career, and it talks about everything from when he was a young boy to all the way to his retirement and service in our community here in Northern California. It's just a wonderful opportunity. If you would like a good book from a local man that will sign your book for you, that has served our country faithfully over the years, continues to serve our country, it's just a wonderful opportunity. Jim, what is the cost of your book, and where can they can get the book at the museum office? We'll have some there also.
We'll have some.
And they can contact you also with your phone number.
Right. The book, because I had to self-publish it, is $25. And as Rob said, there will be several for sale at the museum office at 2110 North Street in Anderson. And my phone number is 245-4492. And I'd be more than glad to meet with your some way to get the book to you, because I believe, in all honesty, in this day of knowing what veterans do, you would enjoy it.
Well, and we're going to have some of those books at our event. The next event for the Northern California Veterans Museum, our annual fundraiser, our big event is going to be April 4th. Great. And that will be Saturday evening at the Veterans Event Center, the VFW Hall there in Anderson. We'll probably have about 250 guests that'll be there. And Jim's book will be there as part of, he'll sign them for you. We'll auction a couple of them off that'll be there as part of our evening. And you're just not going to find a better opportunity to get a wonderful book by a wonderful man who served our nation faithfully and meet him face to face, shake his hand, talk to him, and be able to know one of our American heroes. It's right here in our community. Jim, we've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to close with?
No, nothing other than to support you in this wonderful, wonderful project of the Northern California Veterans Museum. And Rob has done a wonderful job along with the board and so forth working towards it. And lastly, what I would like to also say, if you haven't seen and haven't been out to IGO and see the Northern California Veterans Cemetery, it's one of them. They're calling it now Arlington West.
Arlington West.
Because it is beautiful. The people out there are so dedicated, and the fun time to see it is when you're down at the office and you look out and you see the flags and the headstones and you see the snow on the mountains. And as you come out of the cemetery, on the right is a Korean War Memorial. And with the snow in the mountains, if you look directly across that memorial up towards the mountains, it looks exactly like North Korea. It's very, very moving if you had anything to do with the Korean War. The veteran is open 7 days a week from 8 to 5. There's staff there on Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. It'll help you. Any veteran that has 1 day of active duty can put in his papers and get permission and be buried out there along with the other 4,600 fallen heroes.
From 2007 to 2013, I was the Northern California Honor Guard team leader for the United States Navy. And during that time frame, we laid to rest many, many World War II veterans during that time frame. From 2007 to 2013, I presented personally over 2,000 folded flags to family members across all of our Northern California area, but also there at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And at times we would do upwards of 6 funerals, World War II funerals and Korean War funerals, during that time range, laying our honored heroes to rest here in our Northern California area. If you have not been there, it is a place to go to, excuse me, whether you go at Veterans Day or you go at Memorial Day or you take a Sunday afternoon and you drive up there and you walk headstone by headstone, row upon row, and you read the names of the men and women who served our country, and you see World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Panama, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom. They are all there, men who served in all branches of service. We have so many that are there that we did for the Merchant Marines who never get talked about, who served our country faithfully. If you didn't know, at the beginning of the war of World War II, we lost more Merchant Marines than we lost during the Navy of civilian ships that were lost at sea due to the Nazis outside of our harbors in the Atlantic Ocean. And so these men and women are laid to rest there, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to honor our veterans again here in our community. Jim, we've got about 1 minute left. Anything else you'd like to add to our morning?
I just would like to thank you for this opportunity of being here. And again, when you see a veteran, just thank him for his service, because at some point in life he sacrificed for what we now have as a wonderful country.
That's right. We do have a wonderful country, and we need to continue to talk about that. And as this last song talked about the Cold War during that time frame and fighting the communism with the Russians, probably one of our next programs, we're going to talk about the difference between communism and socialism and the freedom that we have right now, what's going on out there in the political society. And I think it's so important for us to remember, not too long ago, we were fighting communism and socialism across our entire world, and we don't want it here at home.
Well, there's one last thing. If you want to know what the submarines did during the Cold War, they played a song here for it, Blind Man's Bluff, written by a lady, but it tells you...